The main point today is about facing the giants. That's the title of the sermon, Facing the Giants. I know there was a movie called Facing the Giants. This is not about football, right? But I actually, that was one of the first movies I started looking into. I looked into it a little bit about how much money they spent on the movie. They spent $100,000 on the movie, and they just put it out for a little bit of release, and they made $10 million in revenue. So that's pretty good return, isn't it? I'm sure when they put the $100,000, they didn't know that they were going to end up with $9,900,000 profit. But God blessed this movie a lot. It's not a great movie. It's just it impacted, right, a few hearts. So I say it's not a great movie in the sense, like, you know how you have all the Hollywood stuff like that, but it definitely had a really good point, and it impacted lives. But it's not about that movie. I said all of that to say it's not about that movie. Facing the Giants. The main point today is that facing the giants is part of our journey that leads to signs and wonders and leads to living a life of victory in Jesus' name. You know, I think this is very, very important. You know, we're going to face things in life and giants in life and situations in life. And it's important for us as Christians to know that as you encounter these things, it isn't shocking, because when you read God's word, it's full of giants, right? And full of circumstances. It shouldn't be shocking to us. We should just know, as Christians, no matter what we go through, somehow, some way, it's going to lead to God intervening and God bringing victory. Amen? Amen? Amen. So whenever, and that kind of explains how you can have joy in the storm, because when you really believe that, then you know the next storm that comes in your life, you're going to get through it, and God's going to intervene for you. And it gives you a hope that all's going to be well, and God's going to move. And if he needs to do a miracle to defeat this giant in your life, he will. Right? Sometimes he can do it without a dramatic miracle, just make it happen. But sometimes we need that water to come out of that rock. And I have no doubt whenever we need miracles that God is going to deliver them. Amen. I've seen miracles. I've seen God intervene. What seemed like wasn't going to happen, it turned around and God changed it. And he's not going to stop doing that. That's his character. And he's going to keep doing that. So the main point today is facing these giants is part of our journey that leads to signs and wonders and also leads to living a life of victory in Jesus' name. So many of us have heard a word from the Lord, or maybe the Lord has spoken to you somehow, some way, or made you a promise, and maybe he's confirmed that in your spirit or through prophecy or through a word of knowledge. So I want to speak to you today about trusting God and having faith, even though while you're facing the giants. What he's promised you, what he's confirmed in your heart, never changes. You know, Pastor Graham once said, when God reveals something to you in light, in the moment of revelation, and the Spirit showed you something in the light, don't doubt what he showed you in the light when you're going through darkness. And I think that's very good wisdom to live by. Once you know God has spoken, then you don't have to start doubting it when tough times come. Right? You don't have to, not according to God's word, because there's victory ahead. There's victory ahead. So the reason it's important to have this mindset that no matter what you're going through, no matter what giants you're facing, to still believe that God's going to bring the victory, miracles, signs and wonders, whatever he has to do, having that mindset, it gets us through. It gets us through. The reason this is important is because it is this journey that brings forth signs and wonders, supernatural intervention from God on our behalf. You know, the most famous story in the Bible about giants is, anybody know? David and Goliath. Very good. David and Goliath. It's everyone knows that story. We were taught in Sunday school. And I have this question on your sermon notes. Did David see a giant? It's a yes and no, right? You know what I mean, right? It's like, I'm sure he knew that was a giant, but he never seemed to act as if it was a giant. Take that to heart in your life. David was aware about the giant, but never acted as if he was coming against a giant. That's pretty deep. In your life, you may be aware something seems impossible or something seems tough, but do you act like if it's all over? Sometimes we do, right? Sometimes we're like, we're just down and out, and we look like, it's over. I give up. But I want to encourage you, you know, faith, belief, is faith pleases God, right? That's what the Bible says. And I want to encourage you as Christians, don't act as if the giant is there. You just keep fighting the fight and believe that all things are possible. And believe God's going to come through with victory. Amen? It's so much rewarding when you see God break through these things. Well, so did David see a giant? David never saw, your first fill in the blank, he never saw defeat. He might have seen a giant, but he never acted like there was a giant there, and he never saw defeat. He never saw the defeat. I want to challenge you right now. Whatever giant's in front of you, whatever you're going through in life, are you already like, yeah, it's not going to go well for me. It's just not going to maybe turn around. I'll just accept it like that. I'll just accept defeat. I'm here to tell you, yeah, you need to shake it off. Put on the armor of God and go forward with joy and peace and determination that the giants will fall in your life. They will fall. So David never saw defeat. So don't go through your life acting as if there may be some defeat. Because the way I read God's word, he says that all things work together for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we ask, we shall receive. If we believe have faith the size of a mustard seed will move mountains. All these scriptures don't lead to defeat. They lead to victory. And I believe that. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what giants in front of you, I believe that if we pray and believe together in unity and we have faith the size of a mustard seed, the giant will fall. It will fall. Every time. Amen? Don't let your eyes tell you what's true. Because we don't operate in the carnal. Amen. Our God operates in spiritual warfare. Amen? David never saw defeat. Maybe David saw a giant, but he never saw defeat. And in your notes it says there, David could only see God bringing the victory. That's all he saw. You remember the story of David, right? He's like, what's wrong with you people? We have God on our side, and there's a Goliath. Why aren't you all like, let's go, I'll do it. He just had no doubt. He never saw defeat. He never saw anything but victory in this battle. And even the king was like, are you sure? My armor doesn't even fit you. You're going to go fight this giant? Well, you know the rest of that story. Right? The giant came down. Now let's look at the opposite of that. It's always good to see what not to do in order to know what to do. What not to do. Numbers 13. Turn to Numbers 13. Verse 17. Numbers 13, verse 17. And Moses, he sent a spy out of the land of Canaan. And he said unto them, get up this way southward and go unto the mountain and see the land what it is and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, for a few of them or many of them, and what the land is that dwell in, whether it be a good or bad, and what cities there be that dwell there, whether it tents or if it's strongholds and stuff, like strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shisha, and Talmah, the children of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Israel and cut down from thence a branch with the cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought it of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook because of the clusters of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. So these spies go into the land, and their job was to go scope it out. What's it look like? Because this is the land that's been promised to us. So what does it look like? Is it strong? Is it weak? Does it have great fruit? What is it like? What's the conditions? What's the situation? And the spies came back. So the 12 spies, they indeed saw the land. So let's go ahead and read. And they went and came to, verse 26, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and that it is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities were all walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, one of the spies, his name was Caleb, still the people before Moses, said, let us go up at once and possess this land, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So the 12 spies saw a land flowing milk and honey, but they came back. So before we get to that, if you flash back, these are the same people that were 10 plagues hit Egypt. They came out of slavery. God provided a Red Sea to open, and water starts coming out of the rock, and manna starts coming out so they could eat. You know, all these miracles, one after another after another. And they finally get to that promised land, and they're like, let's go take it. And they're like, no. They already forgot all the miracles that God did. Well, needless to say, God wasn't very happy. So I have a question. Did the spies see a giant? Well, the spies clearly saw a giant. They acted like they saw a giant, and they definitely bothered them that there was a giant in front of them. They did not see the victory. They did see the defeat. They did the exact opposite that David did. They both saw giants, and one of them said, let's go. Victory's ahead. The spy saw the giant, except for Caleb, and their response was, we're sure to be defeated. I want to challenge you in your heart, your attitude, your heart, as you're living this Christian life, this journey. We are empowered by God to overcome. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to have a heart and an empowerment to overcome sin, darkness, doubt. And the spies didn't understand it. Moses had no doubt that the land flowing with milk and honey was going to come to pass. See, Moses didn't doubt. Even when the spies came back, Moses was like, well, I guess it's not going to happen after all, Lord. No. Moses knew that land was theirs. My thoughts that I wanted to read here before we close with the last few verses here. It is so important you have faith and never let any circumstance shake your faith. Don't let circumstances shake your faith. Don't let the giants in your life shake your faith. God will come through for us. God will keep his promises. He will. You know that fear will steal your victory. Fear will steal your victory. What was the problem with the 12 spies? They were scared. They were scared. The Bible is very clear about fear. It says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Right? Fear is not of God. Whenever you're feeling like I'm afraid, that's not of God. We need to overcome fear with faith, with His Spirit, empowerment of His Spirit in our lives. So in Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 through 12, the children of Israel, they let fear blind their faith. They let fear blind their faith. You know, in that verse 14 through 12, they begged Moses, don't make us go and fight these giants. We're not going to be able to overcome. And no matter how much Caleb was trying to convince them, don't you know we have God on our side? They just were not going to do it. They were not going to do it. They didn't realize that what I have there on your notes, that in bold at the bottom, they did not realize if God needs to supernaturally intervene, that He will. They didn't seem to get it. They let their fear blind them. And my prayer for you today is whatever fear or doubt or confusion you may have about the promises God has made or about the giants that are in front of you or the circumstances that are in front of you, whatever doubts you may have, whatever fears you may have, it's time to allow the Holy Spirit to get rid of that fear, to get rid of that. It's not a bad thing to face giants. Actually, if you look at this in God's eyes, it's a good thing to face the giants, because it will show how God is sovereign and in control and that He's got this in your life. We don't like to go through trials and heartaches and times of doubt, but it is then when your character will rise. Who you are will rise up. And in David's case, it rose up in one way, and in the spies' case, it rose up the wrong way. Well, the way this story ends is the way our story is not going to end. Because in verse 20 to 24, God was so upset with them, and I'm going to close with this scripture here. God was so upset with them that He was ready to just like, I'm done with them. And Moses says, no, remember you made a promise to them, to our people, and God and Moses are having a discussion. Don't you love how God just was so real? I mean, He was just, Moses and God were having a discussion. And God said, okay, but they're never going to see the land. They're never going to see the land. Those people are never going to see the land. But Caleb will. because he believes. And he knows who I am, and he trusts me. But the rest of them, they're not going to see the land. Let's read how that goes there. God's on verse 20, Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live. So Moses said, please pardon the people. And God said, okay. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land flowing with milk and honey. I swear unto their fathers, they won't see that land that I promised their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, a believing spirit, a spirit of faith, with Caleb, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land, whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb will get to go into the land, and his children and grandchildren will possess it because of his belief. So this is how I want to end today. Which one are we? Are we Caleb, David, or are we the 11 other spies? Amen. Hallelujah. If you have, let's just close your eyes, bow your heads. Amen. Close this way. If you have a giant, that needs to be moved. And if you've been, if you've had some doubt and fear about moving this giant, I want to spend some time in closing in prayer. Because I believe in the power of prayer and of agreement. I believe God is going to move in the next few months and ahead, weeks and months ahead. We're going to start hearing testimony of how God moved. And God made a way and the giant fell. And how God answered prayer and how God kept his promise. I'm just in my spirit, just building and building and building. The season of waiting is over. But it takes faith. It takes belief. It takes facing that giant. It takes some people willing to just say, okay, I see it. But I'm not going to act like if it's there. Because my God is so much bigger than any giant. And I want to take a moment. If that's you today and you have a giant and you just need an agreement to overcome any doubts and fear about God bringing this to pass, fear is not of God. I want to take this moment to end this service and just agree in prayer and just pray with you and believe. The giant's going to fall. It's going to fall. We read it in his word. We read it. He's spoken to us today in worship. His presence is evident. And we're going to end in the power of prayer and belief and faith. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask Michelle to sing a song. If that's you, I want you to come to the front and we're just going to believe the giant's coming down. Doubt and fear is cast out. In Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3.